Not everybody wants that because they don't realise the limitations of what they have.
So, with such people, do you just wait? I mean,
you have to wait. You can't force anything, can you?
No, I never do that.
You have to just wait until the question comes.
What I'm saying, in the mukhrutam also, is not mukhrutam will not be there as long as you have bhoga, as long as you have objects of enjoyment and pleasures and things, and naturally you are there. The situation should arise. There will be situations in one's life which will really make one think.
But there's some people have problems. I mean, most people have problems, but
all people have problems.
Yeah, but not everybody realizes that they have to move on to a.
Yeah, they always think of the solving the problem their own way.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They won't come to this. Always they try to solve the problem. That's what the Shastram says. Definitely we have problems and we try to solve our problems. And one problem is solved, the new problem arises. That is the nature of the problem. Problem solved should result in another new problem. That is actually the problem. And we keep on solving problems and then the new problems are there. And solving one problem definitely doesn't solve all the problems. We're very busy thinking of solutions, solving them. So we don't really think of these things. That is where Shastra learning actually simultaneously comes. Shastra makes us think, even if you don't even think. The Shastram helps us to know, helps us to think, know what we cannot know by ourselves. Okay. If Shastra doesn't help us to know what we can know by ourselves, then we don't need to go to Shastra. What is the speciality? What is something special about the Shastra? It has to help us understand what we cannot know by ourselves. First of all, our own ignorance. First, we don't know what we do not know. That Shastra helps to understand. A, you do not know that you mistake. You do not know who you are. And because of this, all these problems are there. That is why, where can I begin? From somewhere I have to have Shraddha in it, faith in the words of Shastra. Then let me follow the Shastra. Then in the Shastra really makes me see the fact, verifiable fact. Then I accept the Shastra.
Slowly. I'll remember.
Definitely people cannot really. That's what I'm saying. And we also say, see, vina punyena natu advaita vasana pumsam. Unless one has some in the punya, one has some punyam to be inclined for knowledge of Advaita. Vina punyena na Advaita vasana pumsam. And if the karma is such that they have to really exhaust and they cannot really come to this, something wrong if they are coming also. It's like Janmabahunam Janmanamante. It's like, you know, see, we are not anxious about children who are in 6th standard. We know they are going to be 7th standard, say next year. Mm-hmm. After next, another year, will be 8th standard. Mm-hmm. After another year, will be 9th standard. There will be a day, there will be a time when they will be coming to the university. Mm-hmm. It's a question of time. We are not anxious about it. So, it's a growth, it's taken care of. Similarly, amukshuttam, people who don't have amukshuttam, there will be time when there will be mokshas. They will become mokshas. we are now as mumukshus, what we are doing is really, once you become mumukshu, a lot of things should become very clear. We don't need to be anxious about people who are not mumukshus. Tip exactly like how we are not anxious about children who aren't going to the university. It's called kindergarten class.
Mm-hmm.
With their crayons and pencils. And we think and see, there was a time, once upon a time, we were going to school with a small bag and crayons and snack box.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have grown out of all these things. We are different pursuers. Understand? Similarly, there are people who may be of your age, who may be older than who you are, what you are now. You are much younger than you are. If they are not mukshas, they don't have mukshatam. If they are, they don't have purusharthanischaya, that's okay. Let them take their own time to come to this. It cannot be imposed. Some samskara will bring them to this someday. But really, that's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ajnanam karma sanginam buddhi vedam na janayet. Buddhi vedam na janayet ajnanam karma sanginam. Okay, people who don't have mokshatam, not interested in moksha, ajnanam, who not know what they seek in life, who not know where, what the problem is, who not know where the solution lies, and they're busy with their own lives and things, doing things, fine, this bhavati bhuti. Just let them, buddhi vedam, don't go and talk to them about, see, this is not the problem. The problem is, buddhi vedam janayet, don't cause any confusion. They're okay, from their standpoint. That it will, the lifestyle they live, the way they live, there'll be a time they'll be elevated, they'll be uplifted, they'll be brought to this understanding. That is why you brought light to them. They'll come to know. They are karma sanghis. They're so attached to karma and so much they want to accomplish. They don't have any problems in life. Even if they have problems, they don't want to see problems. They cannot think otherwise, differently. That's fine. Karma sanginam. Because they are ajnaha, they don't have to know. And they have some punyam to keep going. Such people, let them do what they are inclined to do. Let that karma, what they are inclined to do, what they are involved in, help them grow. So, joshe sarva karmani buddhiman. So, make such people involved in what they're inclined to do. Make those people engage in what they're interested in doing. Help them grow through their karma.
Mm-hmm.
Be an administrator. Involve them in doing.
Mm-hmm.
Gita says that, really speaking, a real mumukshu will not have any comment about anything. Because my problem is very clear for me. Once I have understood what my problem is, then all my effort is in freeing myself from my problem, in solving my problem. I can understand from the others' problems, from their standpoint, where they are, how they are, I can accommodate them. At the same time, I can just be pursuing what I need to do. People, like-minded people, really, we discuss things.
Mm.
They definitely, that's true. They have to wait. And even if there's no nothing wrong, it's like how, that's also how we can be, definitely we can not be anxious at all. We can be as anxiety-free as we are about children who are going to school now. we wait for them some more years to tell them to come to the university. That's all. They're okay. They're going they're into the discipline. They're into discipline. At least they are in the proper track of, you know, discipline of being educated. Like that, once you start your civic household life, you start your children, duties to do, things to do, or to solve, that's fine. One should have all these things. See, problems keep on going. If problems are not there, he'll go mad. Nothing is there to do. What else can you do? It's a big question. Really speaking, you just have something to do. You don't have anything to do, you'll go mad. If unless you are, either you must be highly contemplative, or you have something to do. Not knowing what is being meditative, what is being contemplative, what is to contemplate on, if you don't have anything to do, that is when people go mad. That is where karma helps one healthy, keeps one healthy. Even to know the limitations of everything, to know there is something called moksha. Oh, moksha is the end. Moksha is nothing but happiness, not simply, you know, to be the soul being liberated from being born again. That's not the second thing. Free moksha, understand moksha right now, this life, here. Jeevan muktihi. Jeevan muktim janiya. Then moksha is definite. Okay, once you know what moksha is right now, then sadhya mukti. Sadhya mukti, jivan mukti. It results in vidhen mukti also, definitely. There are two different things. Vidhen mukti means moksha after death. Because sukshma shariram will not be there to assume another body. That's what is videha mukti. The sukshma would have resolved. How? So one, just as when you see the bird flying and you can't see the footprints of the bird in the space, in the sky. Similarly, Upashavan Prashay talks about it. Okay? There's no way of coming back. It's a different thing. We don't think of the Videha Mukti. Videha Mukti is definite if there's Jivan Mukti, if there's Sadhya Mukti. All that you need is Jnana. So to know that even, oh, this is happiness is something which I'm really seeking, I want to be peaceful. What I want is peace, happiness. Only when a person really realizes this, understands this, what is what I want. And that's how people are going, really speaking, not knowing what they want. Okay, this is what they want. And they go to all these different so-called classes and all full. People go pay so much of fees and all that. Why? Because they seek some solace. They don't know what they're searching. They don't know why it is there. Any package course is bestseller now. Because it keeps you entertained and engaged, and then it's a pleasure. Different from other pleasures. Half an hour, 1 hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours. Anything, because the search is there. The search, you can see anything is, search is there, everywhere search is there. But the mukshus are those who know what they are searching for and where they should search for it. Everybody is a mukshu, really speaking. But you can call yourself, claim yourself to be a mukshu if you know what you are searching for and where it is available, where you should search for it. When the end and means are very clear, then you are a proper moksha. Otherwise, there are others are improper mokshas. Because they are searching for happiness, but they don't know. They're searching not knowing what they are searching for, where they should search for. That's why the search is continuous. endless. The search will not come to an end.
By making moksha moksha and happiness the same thing. When you put it like that, then you know pretty much everyone will say, "Of course, that's what I want." But somehow, the notion of moksha is always presented in a way which is much more complex, much more arduous, really, really difficult, out of reach. Only very, very special people, after they have done viveka, vairagya, satsampati, then they arrive suddenly at the state of moksha. That's the how it's presented.
No, as I'm saying, moksha, when you say freedom, when you ask, these questions should be asked like this, then it becomes very clear.
Yeah.
Freedom from what? Freedom from unhappiness. Freedom of unhappiness is moksha, means freedom from sorrow.
Yeah.
Okay? Then what you want isn't happiness. Being from free from sorrow is being happy. And what you want is happiness. So moksha is equal to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But if the question is that those steps of reasoning that you've just presented sounds perfectly fine. Are they steps of reasoning that the Shastras also indicate, or is this now in the Shastras just use the word moksha?
No. Shastras also talk about it.
Exactly this way.
Manashanti, Shastra, all this thing, It's there, this, see differently, we taste percentage. It's there.
It's there.
See, what they did, very, very old, actually, what they did, as long as you have physical body, as long as you are born again and again, this is samsara. There is pain, and life is full of pains and pleasures. You can't have only pleasures in life. Okay? Have only pleasures in life means you should be happy always. Free from both pains and pleasures, then you can have happiness. That means you should not be born again at all, not assume any body at all.
Mm-hmm.
Liberation from being born again is moksha, is freedom of the soul. Something they said in the beginning, okay? But this is how, that's when we have to talk about the Jeevan Mukti, then we have to bring this, the word, this happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And second thing, happiness, if you ask what is happiness, what is this happiness that you are seeking? Okay, sorrowlessness. What is happiness? Define what is happiness. What is happiness? And he's not sleeping. What is happiness? How I feel when I will listen to me. What is happiness? Dukkha rahitya. What is santushtihi? Santushtihi. Now tushtihi is happiness. Santushtihi itself is satisfaction. Okay, being satisfied is being happy. But santushtihi, feminine gender word. Santoshaha, masculine gender word. Santoshaha. Anandaha, another word. Nandaha itself is happiness. Anandaha. You cannot limit, okay? The meaning of the word. Nandaha itself is happiness. Anandaha. Nandati is happy. Is pleased. Anandati revels. So anandaha, santoshaha, santushtihi. What is that? Okay. Dukkha rahityam. Dukkha nivrittihi. Dukkat nivaranam. Nivrutaha bhavati. Nivruttaha bhavati. Dukkha nivruttihi is anandaha. Okay, because free from sorrow is happiness. Not being happy alone, is it? Happiness itself. That's why when you say, I want to, we say, we use the word, I'm happy, you're happy, 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 all these words. When we mean we were pleased, we say, I'm happy. And we mean how we feel pleased. So, what is happiness? Sorrowlessness is happiness. The sorrowlessness is happiness. Happiness is equal to limitlessness. Shastram says this. Happiness is not a state of mind. It's not a state of mind, first of all, we say that. Pleasure is a state of mind. Feeling of being pleased. Feeling pleased is a state of mind. Pleasure is a state of mind. But happiness is not a state of mind. Happiness is equal to limitlessness. Happiness is an other word for limitlessness.
So
anantaha, anantam is equal to anandaha. Anantam, okay, infinitude is it. Antam, anantam, infinite, the infinite. Anantam is equal to anandaha. Anandaha is equal to anantam. Happiness is limitlessness. If you're understanding what limitlessness is, understanding what happiness is. Understanding what happiness is in fact being happy. So understanding, how can I understand what limitlessness is? That's why Shastram says limitlessness is something to be understood as the nature of the very reality, which is otherwise known as the self, the truth, the reality. No other way. First we say, okay, self-knowledge, we confused all these words. You have to know you are, who you are, why you have problems in life. This other perspective, okay? Why you are unhappy? Because you have problems in life. Why problems are? Because of fundamental problem. Because you mistake yourself for something which you are not. Because you don't know who you are. But you need to know who you are. That is the knowing who I am. In fact, when you say you have to know who you are, my God, something confusing. Even if it's very, very, very confusing for people. I am very clear about who I am. Daughter of so-and-so, son of so-and-so. The height and weight and educational qualifications and knowledge and all those things. I'm very clear. So, this Shastra makes very clear. Don't just say all those things. You understand what you want is happiness, and happiness is limitlessness. They're not two different things. It's not a state of mind. So, understanding what limitlessness is, understanding what happiness is, understanding what happiness is, being happy, is no way of being happy without understanding what happiness is. So, happiness is already, it is something, as long as you don't know what happiness is, in spite of having it, is as good as not having it. If you don't know what biscuit is, okay, you keep on telling me, please take biscuit, please. Alan told me twice to take biscuit and eat it, but I didn't take it. I don't know what a biscuit is, in front of having in front of me. It's my, why I didn't pick up the biscuit, because I don't know what biscuit is. That's all. Just, you don't know what happiness is. That's why having it, you don't have it. Asti, parantu nasti. It's there, but it's not there. Why it's not there? Because you don't know what it is. See, not knowing is as good as not having it. Not knowing what you have is as good as not having it. It's the blunder. The Shastram hits on us. Come on, you know. Hey, what you see, this happiness is not different, it is limitlessness. So how can I understand what limitlessness is? How can I understand what happiness is? No way, that's why you have to know the truth, the reality, the truth of the whole. When you say truth of the whole, don't go and say the truth of the whole everywhere. You are a part of the whole. So know the truth of yourself. So know the self, know thyself. The truth of the whole becomes as well known. Knowing yourself. The truth of the whole becomes as well known. In Chandragiri, she says, once you know, take one clay pot, know what is it made of. You don't need to go and take every pot and see what it is made of. Knowing one pot being made of clay and all other parts become as well known. All parts are very well known because all the parts are nothing but clay. Similarly, know the self. And this shastra tells a secret. The truth of the whole can be understood as the truth of yourself. Because you are part of the whole. You are not outside of the whole. Even here it becomes very clear, it cannot be isolated anymore. You cannot be separated, you cannot be untouched. You are part of the whole already. Part of the whole. So limitations, of course, there are things which distinguish you, differentiate you, which separate you, but still, absolutely, you are inseparable from the whole. You are not separate from the whole. Relatively, you are separable, separate. That is what is the truth. So, know the self of the whole, that is the only way, the self of the whole, the truth of the whole can be understood as the truth of the self. You can never say, let me know the truth of the whole, then let me understand the truth of myself. No. That's not possible. Because the means, the karanam, with which you know, happens to be the mind. Happens to be the mind. That's the only way. No other way. So know the truth of the mind, know the truth of the self, truth of yourself. Know the truth of yourself, but know the self. Know the self, which is the self of everything, the truth of everything. And knowing what the truth is, knowing what the reality is, limitlessness becomes understood. There are two different things. Because why? It is its nature. Sitting here without seeing the sun outside, I can say there is sunlight. I don't see the sun itself. Seeing the light, I can very well say there is sun above. Similarly, once the reality becomes understood, the limitlessness, the nature of reality, which is intrinsic, which is inseparable, becomes understood. This is why you have to know the self. Knowing the self means knowing the very reality. Knowing the reality means knowing what limitlessness is. You cannot know what the light is without knowing what the sun is. You cannot know definitely what we mean by the word heat without knowing what fire is. Similarly, without knowing what the reality is, you cannot know what limitlessness is. So without knowing what limitlessness is, you cannot know what happiness is. Without knowing what happiness is, you cannot be happy. Because therefore, jnana deva kaivalyam. Knowledge is the only means. Jnanam sharanam gacchami. We have to surrender to knowledge. We have to commit ourselves to the pursuit of knowledge. the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is possible only when we have this purushartha nischayaha. I'm repeating this word, purushartha nischayaha, because I'm repeating in my Kundalini class. Purushartha nischayaha, Shastra dings, Shankaracharya says, purushartha nischaya tvena vina. How one can proceed? No. So when other people, when you talk about other people, purushartha nischeha is not there. They are not definite and clear about the absolute, ultimate end being moksha, a happiness in the form of moksha. They are not very clear. If that is the end becomes clear, then you will ask, oh, what is the means to accomplish the end? The end is clear, then you will definitely search for means. And you will definitely end up with the knowledge, the door, not just the means for the accomplishing the end moksha. Once the end is becomes clear, when the end becomes clear, the means will become very clear. When the means become very clear, okay, means and the end being identical become very clear. When that is, that becomes very clear, then how can I gain this knowledge? Next question. Okay, this is how I'm saying, knowing the value of moksha. Knowing first of all moksha being the ultimate goal, which is nothing other than limitless, everlasting joy in the happiness. Okay? No more limitlessness. So that, for that moksha, I need to know what the satyam is, what the truth is, what the reality is. To know that reality, I need to know who I am. To know who I am, to know what the self is. Only by knowing who I am, I can arrive at what the self is. That's why the Shastra says, ask the question, who you are. That means, okay, who you are, who you are, who you are, who am I, who am I, who am I? Keep on asking, what answer can you get? No answer can you get. You'll be asking. And the Shastra is that gives clue. People think, okay, keep on asking the question, and then become meditation for some people. I won't talk about it, okay, all non-traditional business. Here you ask the question, and then this asking says, because that question will take, should make you think, to negate what you are not. That question is simply to ask, keep on asking the question. The Shastra says, okay, ask who you are. Answer, as an answer for that question, you will arrive at what the self is, what the truth is. That means that question should help you to understand what you are not. Then it will help you to understand what you are, basically. That's why it gives a clue. It has to give the clue to ask. That's why you should be asking the question. So, it's important to know. Once the knowledge and moksha, sadhanam and sadhyam together becomes a sadhyam, becomes the identical is understood, then how can I gain the knowledge? How can I attain that knowledge? Then Shastra says, okay, it is, you need a means of knowledge. Without the means of knowledge, no knowledge is possible. Because as the most sophisticated of all the beings, I am blessed with the five sense organs backed by intelligent mind. With the knowledge that I am, the free will, not those things. I have five sense organs. And my knowledge of the whole world is born by the senses. Whatever I know, is based on my perception through these five senses. What the big jagat is this? How vast this universe is? My God, my five senses. Okay? Minus these five senses, the world is, I mean, not that the world is nothing. Okay? And whether it has an object of light, eyes are the only means. I cannot use eyes to have an object of sound. I cannot use my ears to have an object of light. I have to be appropriate, corresponding means of knowledge to have the knowledge of given thing. To have the knowledge of sound, I have to use my ears. To have the knowledge of light and shape and form and color, I need to use my eyes. To have the knowledge of smell, this tea or coffee, I need to use my nose. I need to have the knowledge of taste, I need to use only my tongue. To know whether it is warm or cold, hot, warm, I need to know only through my skin. So these five senses serve as five means of knowledge. But to know anything which is other than me, which is different from me, I can use these senses as means of knowledge. Okay? An object. So anything which is perceived through any of these senses is an object of knowledge. Understand? So I am the knower. Anything known to me is an object of knowledge. The object of knowledge being different from the subject, me, the knower. The known being different from the knower. The means of knowledge, the senses can be used as means of knowledge. But the knower himself becomes an object of knowledge. I have to know who I am. The object of knowledge happens to be the very knower, the subject. The subject itself becomes the object of knowledge. Then the means of knowledge, these senses cannot be used as means of knowledge. Anything different from me, away from me, can be known through my senses. But I have to know who I am. I am the knower. I am the one to be known.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you.
So what is the means that I cannot use these senses as means or not, because the subject itself becomes the object. Therefore, I cannot use these senses means of knowledge. Then what is the means of knowledge? Here again we are ignorant. See, we are ignorant. So many things. From the beginning, Shastram is there in the front of us. Like a mata, the Shruti mata. It is what you are searching for. Oh, without knowing what I am searching for, I have been searching for. First helps us to understand what you want is happiness. Through all these pursuits, okay? Okay. And how can you know? You have to know the Absolute. See, second guidance. Know the truth. How can you know the truth? As the very self, your own self. How can you know myself? I can't use my senses because I am the employer of my senses. To know anything away from me, different from me, I can use my senses, but how can I know myself? Ask me, I tell you. Okay. Then, Shrutihi, okay, Upanishadic words are the means of knowledge. Upanishads are the words of means of knowledge. Shabda Pramanam. So, here again, Shastram says, Upanishad. Upanishadaha. the Veda Anta Shastram, Vedanta Shastram, Jnana Kandaha, can say Upanishads is the only means of knowledge. How can it believe?
Yes.
How can it trust? Be with that, see whether it works or not. It helps you to know or not. So without studying the Shastram, I cannot disapprove, no, Shastra will not work as means of knowledge. I cannot deny. Nor can I approve, accept it without studying. That is, study the Shastram. Make use of the Shastram to know whether it works or not. You have to make use of something. It is sweet or not, you have to taste it. Then you can say it's sweet or not. With the keep it on the plate, just by seeing, you can't say, no, it's not sweet. It is very sweet. You can't say both. You have to use it, make use of it. Really study the Upanishads, see whether it works or not. The Shastra's words reflect. And Shastram is the Pramanam. Vedanta Shastram is the Pramanam. You know the word Pramanam?
Means.
Pramanam means means of knowledge. That's why Pramata means one who knows, the knower. Prameyam means object of knowledge. The known is Prameyam. Pramata is the knower. And Pramanam is means of knowledge. So I am the Pramata, Prameyam, okay, object of knowledge. And Pramanam is means of knowledge. The knower, known, okay, means of knowledge. So here, you are the Pramata and you are the Prameyam. Means of knowledge, Pramanam is Shastra, Vedanta Shastra. See, the word, the root ma means to measure. Manam, dental. Okay? When you say manam means measuring, measurement, the gerund as was known. Measuring, measurement, manam. Mati measures. Alan G sits there and he measures. How much does this girl know? Let me hear. The tailor measures. Your mother measures through thick and thin. Where my daughter goes, where she comes, what is she doing, how does she feel, how does my child is doing. The mother knows, supposed to know the child thoroughly through thick and thin, physically, psychologically, physical, all the needs of the child, doing the needful. So Mata, she's called Mata. Mother is called Mata. In some language, one who knows the child completely. No? So it's called Mata. So the word Mati means measures, and Pramati perfectly measures and tells you what exactly it is there. Eyes tells exactly how the light is. Light is or light is not, light is dim or bright. Very bright, everything measures and tells. Accurate measure. It measures accurately and tells. That's why it's called Pramanam. Accurate knowledge. Accurate. Sometimes, okay, our accuracy of our ears. Pramanyam is not okay sometimes. Is when a Shastra Pramanam is a Shastra, when the Pramanam is accurate, measured, accurately measures. That means you measure accurately what is the truth. That means you know exactly what is within the Shastra. That's what's called a Pramanam. That's the pra. pramata. That's why one who knows means, pramata means one who knows. Prameya, what is well known, well understood. Anything correctly understood. Prameya, object of knowledge, subject of knowledge, means of knowledge. Pramata, subject of knowledge. Prameyam, object of knowledge. Pramanam, means of knowledge. Am I very fast?
What's the difference between that and the means of knowledge and the instrument of knowledge? They are obviously different.
Means of knowledge. Instrument of knowledge is means of knowledge.
So, but if
means of knowledge not be instrument of knowledge, okay.
If the means of knowledge are the Shastra, then the instrument of knowledge here, then is mind, ears, yeah?
Okay, you can very well say means of knowledge. What is the big difference?
Yeah.
See, instrument of knowledge is means of knowledge. Okay, means of knowledge need not be instrument of knowledge, okay.
Yeah. But then I need my ears.
Sometimes inference, that's why you say perception. I'm going to talk to you about later on sometime in the class about the six all different means of knowledge. Perception, inference, etc. So here Shabda is the Pramana. Shabda Pramana. Shabda means Vedanta Shastra. Mm-hmm. Words of the Upanishad will serve as means of knowledge. Pramana. Okay, how can you know the truth? The Shastram Pramanam. Shastra will give you the accurate measurement, that means give you the correct knowledge of what the truth is.
But then I've got to listen, I've got to hear it, someone's got to
that
tell
is
me.
What, that is what I'm saying.
I've got to understand
then Shastram katam avagachet. How can one understand Shastram?
Yeah.
Then sampradaya vidaha, from the one who knows sampradaya. One who knows how to handle the words of the Shastra without deviating from what it conveys, without distorting from what it conveys. One who can handle the words correctly. One who knows the Sampradaya. That means one who knows the Sampradaya with, definitely knows. He would have learnt from, I told you in the class, the Persian class, he would have learnt from his teacher who would have been Sampradaya with. One who is exposed to Sampradaya with, you would know what is Sampradaya. Mm-hmm. Then you definitely can't miss the vision. Once you have the vision, you cannot, it's not difficult for you to give the vision. You will take the vision. I'm able to do that. That's what you're thinking, don't you?
Come on, Anna, not with that.
You have to be with this. And let's say, the Upanishad says, Shastram says that. So, the Upanishad is the means. Upanishad has to be, Vedanta Shastra is the Pramana. And for which you need the Sampradaya with, who is also known as Guru. Okay. Gukaro, Andhakara, Harakara, Sannivartakaha. Gu stands for ignorance. Ru stands for the elimination, dispelling of ignorance. One who dispels the darkness of ignorance is the Guru. All these things people say. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have there's a text called Guru Gita, which talks a lot about the Guru. It talks only about, not about the physical personality, but about the reality which is there in every guru as the mind, okay, from where the vision is transferred from head to head. Okay, it's beautiful thing. I don't know when I'll be doing that. I have to do that soon in your first class, the perennial eternity of the Vedas. Become a lot of clarity, throw a lot of light in that. So here, so this the order tells this, okay, then you need Shastra, you need Guru, Sampradaya. Mm-hmm. And once your commitment is there, once you know the value of knowledge, what you're pursuing, what you're seeking, then the commitment will come. You don't need to be, you have to be committed. You have to be committed, you cannot be said. You will be committed. You know the value of it. You will be committed. Commitment is based on my understanding of what I am seeking. My knowledge of the value of what I am pursuing. You will be committed. When the commitment is there, conviction is there, it should result. It should result in the result. It should result in what you're seeking. You can't fail. It is the order. That's the order. So this much it says. That's in Bhagavad Gita we have. The Arjuna is a mukshuhu, jigyansuhu. Okay. Muksha, the desire to know, desire to be free, should convert one into a jigyansuhu. The one who wants to know. Jnatum iccha jigyansa. He is the mukshu, eventually becomes what? Jigyansuhu. Once you are a jigyasu, you are committed. Then you go and ask, yati shreyaha syat nischitam bruhi tante me sishyaha te aham shadhi mam tvam prapannam. You will ask for that. And not less than a teacher like Krishna. Guru, Krishna is the Guru there. Because the teaching has to be between the teacher and the student. Teaching has to take place when there must be a teacher, there must be a student. There must be a form of dialogue. So we have Arjuna as a student here, Krishna as a teacher here. He has to start teaching. Once that, with the urge the student comes, the teacher has to start giving systematically. Bhagavad Gita starts a little differently, that's all. It has to say. And so when he said, oh, yati shreyaha syat nischitam me bruhi, okay, what is that what is the absolute good? What is that? Which will free me from all sorrow, which will drive away all my sorrows and grief immediately. He said only that, he said. He did not say, it is only the knowledge which will free you all, which will free you from all sorrow, and all grief. He didn't say that. He indirectly gave an answer. Panditaha na anishochanti. What is the answer? Panditaha na anishochanti. A very a teacher who is very relaxed, who is calm, who is not anxious about his student being confused, a student being confused, becoming confused. He has to give an answer, one word answer. Panditaha na anishochanti. Echreyasyat nischitam bruhi. What is it which will get me shreyas? It will free me from sorrow. It will get me limitless happiness. Panditaha na anushochanti. Shochanti, janaha shochanti. Ordinary people do grieve. Shokaha is inevitable in life. Everybody has shokaha. Sarve shochanti. Not one day shochanti, next day. No, anushochanti. Shochanam, shokaha, is this kind is always in life. Anushochanam. Not I grieve only today, 5 days, 10 days, I don't know. Anushochanam. People do grieve. But who do not grieve? Panditaha na anushochanti. Only panditaha na anushochanti, that one simply makes it very clear. Panda means knowledge. And panditaha is one who has knowledge. So here, knowledge of the self, one who knows the self, one who knows the truth of the whole, one who knows Brahman, is a panditaha. Na anushochanam. Shankaracharya in his Bhashyam, he says, shochanam maudyam. Only fools grieve, wise do not grieve. Moodha, foolishness, maudyam. Moodha is a foolish person. So, the panditya, the opposite is what? Maudyam. Wisdom and so panditaha, the man of, the person of knowledge, people of knowledge, wise people, do not grieve, do not become sorrowful, don't have any sorrow at all. That means what? Definitely, who is a pandita? One who has atma jnana vishayavan. Atma vishaya jnanavan panditaha. One who knows the self, one who knows the truth of the whole as the self, is the panditaha. Saha na anishochati. He does not grieve. That means he implied there knowledge. In knowledge, there is no sorrow. Knowledge frees one from sorrow. The answer for that. Panditaha na anishochati. So it is long, okay, if you are sorrowful, you are apanditaha. That means you don't know the self. If being ignorant of self is not a big problem, not a big thing, you don't know, you can know. No, that's what Krishna is very, very, very casual, very free. The self, the one who knows the self does not grieve. Those who grieve really do not know what the self is. The answer is replied here. So if you grieve, you are grieving. You speak like a pandita. Okay. But you are grieving. That means what? You are not a pandita. You speak like a pandita. Okay. But you are not a pandita. That means you have to become a pandita. All of us have to become pandita. Because panditaha na anushochanti. Okay, panditaha na anushochanti. Kim uddishya na anushochanti. What did they not grieve? They don't grieve for what? For anything. There's no grief at all. There's no sorrow at all in their lives. Gata asunva, agata asunva. Now, asuhu means life, breath. Asuhu. Asuhu. Gata asuhu, from the one from whom asuhu has gone, is gata asuhu. Gata asuhu. Agata asuhu, the one from whom the asuhu has not yet gone. Asuhu na gataha yasmat saha agata asuhu. Asuhu gataha yasmat saha gata asuhu. The one from whom asuhu has gone, the pranam is gone. The pranam is departed. He is gatasuhu, the dead. Agatasuhu, the one from whom the prana has not yet gone, the one who is still alive, is agatasuhu. So, gatasun, agatasun, cha. Gatasun, agatasun, cha, pan. Okay? Na anushochanti panditaha. Panditaha na anushochanti. Not grieve about the people who are dead and who are alive, or things which have happened before, which things which are still happening and going to happen in future. There's no sorrow in their life. Once there is wisdom, once there is knowledge, what the self is, then there will not be sorrow at all. There's no sorrow, there wasn't sorrow, there will not be sorrow. Things that are going to happen in future will not shape them, will not cause unhappiness in their part. Things which are happening, which happened before, will not make them unhappy. People who are dead, they will not be unhappy about the people who are alive or who are dead. That means things which have happened before, which are happening now, which are going to happen in future, no situation will ever make them unhappy, because for them happiness is something which is there eternally. As the very nature of this self, happiness discovered remains forever. Happiness will not go. Unhappiness will not come and push this happiness aside. Why? Happiness does not come and go. Happiness is something which is always there. It's something which happens, something which comes and which goes. Then any unhappy situation which will push this happiness aside. Come and go, so that I want to be here there. No, that's not true. The Shastra makes it very clear. This happiness, okay, is not something which comes, not something which goes, which is there, which is eternal. Why? Because it is limitlessness. What is the limitless nature of what? The eternal truth, eternal reality. The reality has no beginning, no end, no change. So the nature of the intrinsic property, nature of reality also is eternal. Happiness is not born, it does not go, not appear and disappear. It's always there. Once you have discovered what happiness is, once you know what reality is, then you are Panditaha. Once you are a Panditaha, you know what happiness is. That happiness stays forever. Things happen in happiness, disappear in happiness. Things come and go in happiness. But happiness is always there. Things which happen in happiness will not shake or move or push aside or undo happiness. That's why gata asun agata asunva, gata vishyanva agata vishyanva uddishya panditaha na anushochanti. They do not grieve for anything. Because grief is something which exists in happiness. Isn't it nice to know that?
Grief is something that exists in happiness.
Yes.
He was in happiness. Suddenly grief. We woke him up. It's a grief. See, I can quote an example now.
Yes.
He was Ananda. We woke him up. Panditaha na anushochanti gatasva gatasumischa. What is Arjuna? Prajnavadan bhashase. You speak prajnavadan. Okay, prajna. The word prajna has too many meanings. Prajna means consciousness. Prajna means prajna means wise person. Prajnavadaha means actually speaking like wise person, words of wisdom. So Krishna, one answer. If we ask for Shreyas, this is the answer anywhere. If your question has Shreyas, I want Shreyas. What is Shreyas? Absolute good. What is absolute good? What is good for all? Not relative good. Relative good means relative term. What is acceptable, desirable for all the people, always, everywhere is absolute good. That is moksha, that is jnana. Okay, if you want moksha, then this is the only way, is become a pandita. You speak like a pandita, become a pandita. Because people think, okay, if I become happy, grief will go. No. You can never become happy. How to discover happiness? To be happy always, have discovered what happiness is. Discover happiness, you have to discover the self. Because the big lesson was, happiness does not come and go. Pleasure comes and goes. But happiness does not come and go. Once you discover happiness, and then it's always there. That's with the, anything which happens there will not, you know, diminish or increase your happiness. Not reduce your happiness or increase your happiness. Not add to your happiness. You're going to see that in the last verse, there's a different thing. So you have to know. So to know in the means of knowledge, which is Shastram, and to study the Shastram, you cannot read the Shastram by yourself, understand in the Sampradaya with the teacher, the Guru. Then okay, Guru is there, Shastram is there, I know the value of knowledge. I know what moksha is all about now. That is my ultimate end. I am very committed student. Okay, how can I get? Come on, let us start. Okay? Then the teaching takes place. Teaching goes on and on and on and on, and the doubt comes. What is this? When will the knowledge take place? See, I've been listening to so many Swamis and Lord here and there. When will it happen?
Yes.
We're still waiting.
And the answer is?
25.
And?
When?
Now, right now. That's what the Shastra says. Okay. Not today, definitely. Then that is when Shastram says, okay, even if the Shastram is there, even if the teacher is there, and even if the learning takes, the teaching takes place, there will be Shravana Jnanam. There will be Jnanam. Knowledge gained through listening is Shravana Jnanam. You have much. Listening and listening and listening. The more you listen, the more of vagueness is removed. The clarity is enhanced. But still not ascertained. Then lot of doubts come. Many doubts will come slowly. Again, repeated listening becomes the manana. What has been heard should be heard again. Pauna punyena shravanam, punaha shravanam, punaha shravami, punaha shravami, punaha shravami. Gativaram vashuriyam, how many times can I listen? Punaha shravami, punaha, pauna punyena shravanam, listening again and again and again becomes mananam. Why? The doubts you had last week will resolve this week. Oh, this doubt I never had, a new doubt has come. This will be resolved next week. This is called reflecting on what you have heard, and as you reflect on what you have heard, the doubts coming and the doubts resolving. This is called a manana. Okay? But for nididhyasana, what you need is steady mind. Nischala buddhihi. Achala buddhihi. Steady mind. I know what the reality is all about. Very clear. But I have to be able to focus the attention of the mind. Nature of reality. Nischala buddhihi. I need steady mind. Which is the problem. That is why there will be a time the class itself should become a mere contemplation. once you learn, repeated listening and listening and listening and listening and listening, the clarity is there. There's no time you can miss the reality. You can always be in that. This way, for Vedanta students, proper traditional students of Vedanta, meditation should not become an action. You don't do meditation, you should learn to be in meditation. You will be in meditation. There is difference between non-traditional package course people and them who are exposed to traditional teaching. Don't practice. Okay, in the beginning we do, we also have some, okay, come, close your eyes, sit, do some japam. Something, we also try to help you to be focused on something. It helps, it's good. Like Keni japa, mantra japa, nam japa, it's fine, it's good. But that should be simultaneously, Vedanta Shravanam, the Shastra Shravanam, will help you to be in meditation. That's what I believe. I could never learn meditation properly. I never sat and did anything like this. Shastra classes took care of, helped me to be meditative. Can be anywhere, everywhere, doing anything, but still you can be with yourself. That's something you have to be. Shastra says, which is unimportant, we have to know, for the mind to become steady, there should be some degree of dispassion. And for everyone, the meditator. So one has to become dispassionate means, being dispassionate does not mean one should give up desire for pleasures. People always mistake this. I wanted to make it inverted, okay? Becoming dispassionate does not mean that one has to give up desire for pleasures. It's not giving up desire for pleasures. Dispassion implies having grown out of desire for pleasures. See, trying to give up is different from having grown out of desire for pleasures. Isn't it? It's such a vast difference.
Natural.
So, one, how can you grow out of desire for pleasures? And once you know the limitation of pleasures, not all the pleasures, whatever you have passion for, if you go out of desire for, you're dispassionate, you know, to be there. It's a question of time. That's why you, Shastra says, you have to live your life, okay, pursue artha, pursue kamaha in accordance, in conformity with dharmaha, so that you will discover dispassion first. You will know the limitations of all the artha and all pleasures. You will become dispassionate. Dispassion implies maturity. Doesn't mean the frustrated person who is trying to suppress all his desire for pleasures and who has smoke coming out of his head. No, it doesn't mean. This is the person so relaxed, okay, not confused. Who would have seen, like Arjuna? He knows the limitation of all pleasures. That means they cannot give, they cannot free me from sorrow. When I am sorrowful, when I am grieving, when things are haunting my mind, tormenting my mind, then nothing can relieve me, free me from this sorrow. what is it which can free me? Discovering dispassion means understanding the limitations of all artha, all pleasures, all that we have in life. That means not that hate, and having hated all artha or kama does not make one a dispassionate person. It's knowing the need, the importance of artha, knowing the importance of the pursuit of pleasures, at the same time understanding the limitations that they cannot give me what I ultimately seek. Help me grow out of desire for them. You will have them, but still you won't be craving for them. So one has to have a degree of dispassion. One has to become dispassionate in order to be steady and meditative. So this life will have the pursuit of artha and kama, dharma, pursuit of artha and kama in conformity with dharma alone will help one discover the dispassion, will help one become mature. Once you're mature, as a mature person, you will be able to be pure and steady. Okay? That's why they say, sadhana chaturte sat sampannaha kaha. What are these sadhana chaturtayas? Fourfold qualifications. I tell you, words are too many words. This is the satyam. There's one word of the shastram. Shastram says, I don't say this, okay? Sampradaya says this, I am not saying this. Purushartha nischaya syant manushyasya. That's very clear. So there's no problem. See, we don't have go against the nature anywhere. In India, there are problems. People think, oh, I should not touch anything. Why, Lakshmi? Don't steal others' money. Don't rob others' money. You work hard, earn some money, spend the money. Eat what you want. Wear what you want. But no, this is not. This one to maintain this. It's not the end of life. So it's no point in saying I should not do this. I should not do this. Should do this is a problem. I should go for this. But one thing. So this maturity or dispassionate mind, the maturity, the steadiness, the purity, antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam, which go with dispassion and maturity, implies the importance of being committed to live a life of values. This is pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma for moksha. This is where we understand the value of values. In fact, more than the value, once a Purushartha nischaya is there, moksha by the end is very clear. Moksha is nothing but jnanam. Knowledge is the end for me now. All I need to know. It has to become clear. It is not away from me. It's the very me. The mind has to see its own truth. For that, to be revealed, for the mind to have its own to be revealed. To have the truth of itself to be revealed, it has to become turbulence free. So all that it needs to do is be conscious of the value. Then I'm going to give, I'll give the value for this book next week for all of you. Each copy. It talks about these 13 values from the 13th chapter. Amanitamadam vittam, ahimsa, kshanti, arjavam, every value separately taken and beautifully analyzed. It will help you like sort of self-analysis.
Mm.
I'll give that book for all of you. I got a few copies at home and found. Okay. When I come for on Monday, I will give it as homework. It's very good. Very good sense. See, what is manitam? What is amanitam? Just like self-analysis. Like. It's good. With the 13th chapter, only those values have been taken separately in our book. Is there. And you copy each copy. For each one, every one of you will give a copy. So, and bad, then this is where I stop, okay? And the rest of things, we'll see. I can talk about it, it's not a problem, I'll just say. So, because Arjuna is already a prepared student. Sadhana chaturtaya sampannaha. Okay, he has Shama, he has Damaha, he has Uparamaha, he has Itiksha, everything. He should be, but still, Bhagavan will teach him. Again, you should have all these things. See, Bhagavad Gita actually condensed milk. Okay, simply don't talk about too many terms here and there. With emphasis from chapter 2nd onward, from 3rd, 4th, the continuous emphasis is the values. Value governed life, dharma governed life. Because there's no way of your becoming meditative. See the way, now to see the water, it has become still. It can't be running all the time as a wave. To become free from being wavering. To know its stillness. But it's not, it has to happen naturally, okay? It can't be imposed. Come on, stop, wave, stop, stop. Can't do that. That's the nature of the wave, it's called wave.
Mm.
Similarly, our mind also. But the nature of the mind is such. So the whole teaching is, that's why these things are very clear. Purushartha nischeha, knowledge itself being moksha, and all knowledge, the shastra being the means, it has to be learned from the teacher, and therefore nothing needs to be ignored as unwanted and unimportant and as papam, as sin. We have to know the importance of the pursuit of artha kama, proper understand context. The same show the limitation of that they cannot give what they seek in life. And how dharma governed life. Without, the life is ungoverned by dharma. All the karma we do in order to pursue artha and kama, if they are not governed by dharma, they are not in conformity with dharma, there is no way of becoming meditative. So this is then we also know the value of dharma. Value of knowledge, value of moksha, value of values, value of being meditative, value of being dispassionate, value of values.
It's very good. I mean, excellent.
Brilliant.
Start. Mm-hmm. Very clear.
Thank you. Foundation. So, we'll continue. Uttishta, uttishta, Govinda, uttishta.